chapter 17, if it's closed in your Bibles. That's where we're going to be looking together. And there's an outline for the talk, as always, inside the notice sheet, which is on your tables, if you find that helpful to see where we're going. As Daph said at the start, we're looking together at this prayer that Jesus prayed the night before he died. We're looking at it over 4 weeks, and because it's God's word, let's ask for God's help as we look at it together. Heavenly Father, we are amazed that we, your creatures, could come to know you, our Creator. We thank you so much that you've called us and chosen us and revealed yourself to us. And we pray that tonight, as we turn to your word, you give us heads that can understand what you have to say, and hearts that are willing to change and follow you. For the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Well, Les Miserables is now out on DVD. My understanding is they've been watching it at Globe Cafe. And even if you're not a regular at Globe, I'm sure that many will have seen it already. And one of the themes in the film, I haven't seen the musical, I'm assuming they're the same. One of the themes in the musical and the film and perhaps the novel is that being willing to stand up for what you believe in is an honourable thing. Victor Hugo set his story in the Paris Uprising of 1832, and he was very sympathetic to the young men who rose up in Paris against the oppression of the poor, and so they're depicted as heroes in the musical for the way that they're standing up for what they believe in. And they make this challenge throughout to their friends around them: will you join us? Will you join us and be significant, or will you be a coward and let your life be just another life? A meaningless life. No life at all, because you never stood up for anything. So they sing, when the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. And you see them, well, if you're, I don't know whether everyone's the same, I see them, I want to join in. I think, well, these guys are probably going to die, but they're great, aren't they? They're so passionate, and they've got such a healthy restlessness about the world. And they want to change it, and that's brilliant. I want to be with them, with their passion. And they're saying, will you give all you can give so that our banner may advance? And I think one of the reasons that we enjoy it is because we love a good mission. We all want a quest. And we see that in many films, not just Les Miserables. There's The Fellowship of the Ring. There were many of the films that we just saw in the video clip. Pirates of the Caribbean. The Bourne Supremacy. These films are based around a mission. The Dark Knight Rises, Finding Nemo, even Ratatouille. There's a quest, there's a mission that people set out on. And our hearts are lifted when we see somebody on an exciting, challenging mission. And I think that is a clue for us that we need a mission in our lives. One of the great things, actually, about living in a city is that cities attract people who are striving for something. Often the people that we'll meet in Preston today are people who haven't settled for just kind of an easy life. They want to achieve something. People are on a mission. And of course, children know this. Children want quests. And so if you ask a seven-year-old what they want to do when they grow up, none of them tends to say, yeah, I think maybe I'd like to work in an office, maybe in retail. I think I'd like to push some paper around, maybe get some holidays from that. They don't say that, children, because they want an adventure. They want a quest to live by. And the Bible affirms this deep desire within us to have a mission in life, to stand up for a greater cause. God made us with that desire in us. But we can only find fulfillment for that desire when we put down our own missions for ourselves and we join in with the mission of Jesus Christ for the world. So the big idea tonight is that in this prayer that Jesus prayed to God the Father, we see that the Holy God wants to send you on a holy mission. Now I was thinking, and we had the questions about it, if I say the word mission to you or quest to you, it might get your blood pumping, thinking that sounds quite exciting. Tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. I want a quest. But as soon as we say the word holy, I think everything sounds a lot less attractive. I don't know what comes into your mind when we say the word holy or the word holiness. I think if somebody said to me, I've just come back from a holy mission, I would assume they'd been on some sort of pilgrimage to a shrine or something like that. When I think of the word holiness, I often think of very churchy things. I'll perhaps think of a monastery or an archbishop or an organ or candles. But that's not what the Bible means by holiness. I think we have a lot of confusion today about what holiness means. And we see clues to that in this prayer that Jesus prayed. Just have a look at what Jesus calls his Father in verse 11. Halfway through verse 11, Jesus says, Holy Father, protect them. God the Father is holy. And then in verse 17, Jesus uses a word, sanctify. Now, the word sanctify literally just means make holy in the Greek, which is written in. It's the same word. So whenever it's saying holy and then it's saying sanctify, it's the same thing, make holy. So if I was to read verse 17, but changing the word sanctify for make holy, it reads like this. And he's praying to his Holy Father. Verse 17, Holy Father, make them holy by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I make myself holy, that they too may be truly made holy. So the Father's holy, the Son's holy, and he wants people on a holy mission. Because being holy just means to be set apart, to be other, to be different. So when the word holy is used of God, it's used to describe how different he is from his creation. He's set apart. And so we saw that in this other reading we had from Isaiah. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 recounts the vision he had of God. And the temple at the time was this glorious place that signified the presence of God. And when Isaiah sees God, even the train of God's robe fills the temple. That's how great God is. And there's angels around God and they're covering their faces because he's so separate. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's a vision of how completely different and separate God is from the creatures he's made. He's set apart. And so when God calls people to himself and he commands that they're holy, it's that he wants them to be set apart for him. Set apart from other people for him. So of course, often when the Bible talks about holiness, it talks about how we should live, that we should be more loving people. We should love God more and we should love other people more. And that's because we've been set apart for God. The different way of life is because he set you apart. And that's why Jesus can say in verse 19, for them I sanctify myself. Jesus is saying he's making himself holy. But of course, Jesus doesn't need to make himself more loving. Jesus is already completely perfect. So he's not talking about changing the way he lives. What he's saying is, for them, I set myself apart for the mission God has given to me, to save people by dying on the cross. That's where he was heading. And so in the same way, when Jesus uses the word holy of his disciples, it will certainly include changing the way that we live, to live for God. But it's actually fundamentally a call just to separate ourselves for a mission from God. Jesus had been sent into the world on a mission to save sinners, and now he sends his followers into the world on a mission to save sinners. It's a mission that will cost the disciples he's praying for everything. We know that. We know what happened to them. And it's a mission that Jesus calls us to join in today, in our generation. But let's just pause and consider. I think we need to think, does that really appeal to us to be on this very challenging mission that may cost us everything? Because I wonder, maybe there's part of you, or maybe the whole of you, that really just wants to choose the quiet life. Maybe your dream, your mission in life is to get yourself a nice, perhaps quite big, secluded home with a big garden overlooking perhaps the park or the canal. Maybe you're dreaming of your next holiday and the idea of sitting around without any responsibilities or jobs to do. Maybe you'd rather go on a spa day than be sent out into a hostile world on a daring mission. So tonight we're going to look at three things about the mission that we learn in this prayer. And the first one, I think, is a very compelling reason why we should all ditch the missions that we're searching for today and we're part of today and choose to be part of Jesus' mission. First of all, then, it's a mission that brings joy. Just have a look at verse 13. Tonight we're going to look at verses 13 to 19. So have a look with me at verse 13. The Son says to the Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So let's pause there. Being set apart by Jesus, for Jesus, is the path to real joy. And that's really important for us to understand tonight. Unless you're one of God's people, set apart for Him, for His mission, then you can't have joy. Just tell us. The world tells you that joy comes from living for yourself and treating yourself to the best things on offer. We hear it in songs. I don't know whether any of you like Franz Ferdinand, but the first song of their first album had the chorus, "It's always better on holiday, so much better on holiday. That's why we only work when we need the money." I remember going on a holiday to Newquay, as I was on holiday, and I remember being in a bar where there was a hot tub, and guys were sitting around drinking beer in this hot tub, and they kept singing it, "It's always better on holiday, that's why we only work when we need the money." Belle and Sebastian, the band, had a great song a few years ago called "Asleep on a Sunbeam," but it was all about dreaming of going on a summer holiday, and they said this, "Another summer's passing by. All I need is somewhere I can feel the grass beneath my feet, a walk on sand, a fire I can warm my hands. My joy will be complete." Isn't that interesting? My joy will be complete if I can have a holiday like that. And that's a lie. Jesus says that you won't complete your joy by having an amazing holiday. Your joy will be complete only if you're one of His people who knows that He died and is alive again and you get on board with His mission. When we feel that we lack joy in our lives, we tend to think we need a bit more me time. And Jesus says, you don't need more me time, you need more mission in your life. If you lack joy, you need more mission. Jesus is alive, He died for you to make you one of His people. And just before He died, He prayed this prayer for His people. And so working for Him in the world today, striving to make Him known, so that other people are saved and you can enjoy the fellowship of having them in your family, your church family, there is no greater joy than that. So we mustn't buy into the dream that says nothing is more important than your own personal comfort and your own individual fulfillment. That dream will leave you dissatisfied. It's a strange thing. That we need a cause that goes beyond our own personal needs. If we just try and address our personal need for joy, we'll lose it. We need a cause worth dying for, and Jesus gives us that cause. A few months ago here at All Saints, we had one of our mission partners come back from where he's a missionary. So he's abroad telling people about Jesus, and All Saints support him. We pray for him. We give money to support his living. And he's part of the Sahara Desert Mission. He's called Stephen Baggett. Many of you will have been there, of course, when he was here. And he went out to Niger in Africa, in the Sahara Desert, as a boy, because his parents, his dad, was sent by All Saints Preston, by this church. He really felt called to go out to the Sahara Desert, where there are encampments of people who'd never heard about Jesus. And he wanted to go and tell them the truth about Jesus. And so he moved his family out there. And Stephen, now a fairly elderly man, I think it's fair to say, has been there his whole life. And when we interviewed him, he talked about how hard it's been. The hardship of living in a place like the Sahara Desert. And the danger that he's been under. And he said that only a handful of people have come to know Jesus during his life out there. And I think that the world looks at a life like that and just cannot understand it. And just thinks, what a waste. What a waste of life. He could have been trying to live for himself and do what's best for himself. But you know, Jesus looks at that life and says it's glorious. Jesus rewards those who step out in mission for him with joy. That's what he's praying to his Father. He wants their joy to be complete. And I think so often you can see that joy on the faces of older Christians. When Stephen Baggett came, this guy, he's had a really hard life in the Sahara Desert. He was just so joyful. I was looking at him thinking, I don't know what you've got, but I want it. I want to be like you when I'm your age. And we see that with the older Christians at All Saints, I think. That often there is a joy about them because they've spent their lives serving Jesus and they know now there's no greater way to live. So may this your mission. Just ask yourself, what do you want to be remembered for? If you stop serving Jesus and try and cling to joy, you will lose it. But if you're willing to forget about yourself and throw yourself into Jesus' mission, you'll find the full measure of his joy within you. That's our first point. The reason we must choose his mission. It's a mission that brings joy. Secondly, and more briefly, we learn about this mission, that it's a mission that demands protection. that requires protection. Have a look with me at what Jesus asks from his Father in verse 14. Verse 14. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I'm of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus prays for protection for his people. The mission that he's giving them is to bring his word to a lost world. That was his mission, and he passes it on now to his disciples. The world is like a sinking ship, and Jesus is the lifeboat, and his disciples are sent out into the world just to tell people that they're in danger, and they can be saved by going to Jesus. But the world hates God's word. When John, the disciple who wrote this gospel, talks about the world, what he means is the world as it stands in rebellion against God. The world stands against God. And Jesus loved the world enough to come in and die on the cross for the world so that anyone can be saved through him. But right back in chapter 1 of John's gospel, John summarized how the world responded to Jesus. He said this, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." So Jesus sends his disciples out into a world that hated him and hated his message. And he does that because it's only through people hearing that message that they can ever be saved. That's why it's the mission. I was thinking it's a bit like, I don't know if any of you have ever read Lord of the Flies, the book by William Golding. But it's a story about some schoolboys who end up stranded on an island on their own without any grown-ups. And things start off in quite an ordered way, and they point a leader. And then chaos ensues as they split into tribes and they fight with one another. And it's awful, and they start being really wicked to each other. But the boys on the island are in terrible fear, because they've seen something hanging in a tree. It's actually a man who's crash-landed, and he's hanging from his parachute, dead. But they think it's a beast, that it's living. And they're in complete fear of it. They're in terror. And so what William Golding does in Lord of the Flies, really interesting, is he writes a character in who hasn't become corrupted, one boy called Simon. And Simon is off on his own, and the other boys are kind of being savage, and they're dancing around, and they're talking about this beast, and they're in real fear. And Simon sees the parachute, and he realizes that there's no beast. So he has the news that can save the boys from their fear. And he runs into the camp to see the boys to tell them, and they kill him. Because they've gone so savage, they kill the one who has the message that can rescue them. And in a similar way, the same can be true of the world as Christians go out into the world. Because the world has fallen so far from wanting anything to do with God, when Jesus sends his followers out into the world, they don't react in the right way. They don't receive them. They reject them. Jesus says in verse 15, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world." It's very interesting, isn't it? So Jesus doesn't, because of the opposition his people will face, he doesn't want them to retreat into a Christian subculture that's irrelevant to the people around them. He doesn't want them to retreat into a Christian ghetto that stops spending time with non-Christians. Instead, he asks the Father to protect them from the evil one. And what Jesus means by protection isn't what we might want him to mean. You see, he doesn't mean protection from persecution. He doesn't even mean protection from physical harm for his people. What Jesus wants his Father to protect his people from is losing their faith. Because he knows that what the people need, more than anything else, is to keep believing in Jesus. And the evil one only wins if a Christian gives up on their faith. That's the only way that the devil can win. And so the devil will make it very hard for you to remain a Christian in your life. There will be times when it's really hard to keep going, because the devil doesn't want you to. And Jesus prays to his Father, "Father, protect them." And I don't know about you, but I think there's something really encouraging about how simple that is. On one level, the Christian life is just so simple. You keep believing in Jesus every day, and then you die, and you go and be with him. If you think about the mission that God has given us for the world, it's a very daunting mission. I think we can almost end up suffocated by thinking, how on earth are we going to do this? If we're the ones that have to bring God's word to a lost world, then how are we going to do that? I mean, just think about our city. Thousands of people work at BAE Systems. Thousands of people work in the hospital. Thousands in education, for the council, in care. There are so many people in Preston. How are we going to reach them? It's so overwhelming. But first things first, Jesus' will is that we ourselves don't retreat from the world and hide away, and that we don't drift from his word. Don't retreat from the world, don't drift from his word. And so we can pray that we would be courageous and that we would be protected, that we keep trusting. So first, it's a mission that brings joy. Secondly, it's a mission that requires protection. And thirdly, it's a mission that demands dedication. We see that in the language of being made holy that we were talking about at the beginning. It's in verses 17 and 18. Let's look at those verses again from verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus has called his Father Holy Father, and he's saying, Holy Father, make them holy by the truth. Set them apart. Being set apart is about recognising that this mission demands everything of me. I can't dabble with other missions in my life. The mission of making myself as comfortable as I can in life. I can't do that and be single-minded about Jesus' mission. The Holy God calls us to be holy, to be dedicated to the task. It's a bit like the way that an athlete has to dedicate themselves if they're ever going to win anything. Jessica Ennis, she didn't win Olympic gold by having a really full social life when she was a teenager and doing a bit of training when she had a bit of time. No, she had to sanctify herself. She had to set herself apart from the other goals that she might have had for her life. If you don't sanctify yourself, you're not effective in pursuing your dream. And that's what we need to do for Jesus. And verse 17 tells us how, if you notice that, how we can be set apart and single-minded. Jesus says to his Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So it's reading the Bible that makes us holy. It's God's word that makes us holy. If we're dedicated to the Bible, then we can become the set-apart people God wants us to be, dedicated to his service. Remember that if you move to a new town or a new city and you're looking for a new church. It's only a church that's committed to teaching the Bible that will help me become holy. And my mission in life is to be holy for Jesus, because he was holy for me. And in case we're in any doubt about how committed we need to be to this mission, in verse 18, Jesus raises the stakes. Verse 18, he says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So there's a direct comparison between the way the Father sent the Son into the world and the way Jesus now sends his people into the world. Well, Jesus held nothing back when he came into the world. And now he sends us in the same way, holding nothing back. So tonight, what will you choose? We all have a decision to make about what we'll do with the challenges of this prayer. Will you devote yourself or will you drift? Will you devote yourself to this mission, or will you drift along in life, dabbling with the Christian faith and seeking other missions as well, other interests? Jesus says this mission will bring the fullness of his joy in you, because God made you for this mission. It's a mission that requires protection, because you have to keep your faith in the God you've come to know for yourself through Jesus. And it's a mission that demands dedication, so it's going to affect every decision that you make. So if you will choose to dedicate yourself to this mission, let me just give three applications of that, three implications. First of all, I think that being on board with Jesus' mission in the world today means we need to think globally about his mission. Perhaps you need to ask yourself, are you willing to be someone who goes overseas, like Stephen Baggett's dad did from All Saints many years ago? Will you be willing to go to one of the many parts of the world today, and there are still many, where people are facing condemnation from God for the way that they've lived, and they haven't heard that Jesus came so that they can be rescued through him? Will you be the person that brings them that good news? If you won't do that, perhaps because you feel that you're better placed serving God where you are, then will you pay for other people to do that? Will you pray for other people to do that? Why not pray for our mission partners here at All Saints? Why not pick one and pray for them on a set day every week so that you really feel that you know what's going on and you're partnering with them in prayer? Think globally about Jesus' mission. Secondly, I think this mission calls us to think regionally. Will we be willing, as All Saints Church, to plant other churches in our region? Because there are lots of parts of our area today where God's word isn't being proclaimed to God's world. Now, church planting, when a group of us go off and start a different church, is exhausting. It's exhausting for the people who go, because they have to start from scratch with a new church. It's exhausting for the people who stay, because suddenly a huge chunk of your church leaves. And it's painful, as you don't see friends as much anymore. But I think we need to ask, for the sake of Jesus' mission, are we people who are willing to do that? Are we willing to say we're a church that plants other churches? Are we willing to think that actually there might be a point where we say, actually, I'm going to leave All Saints for a church plant, and it's going to be really hard, for perhaps for years, but I want to do that because I don't want to die wondering. I want to get on board with Jesus' mission. That's what I want to be remembered for. Think globally, think regionally. And thirdly, I think this mission needs us to think personally. That is that whoever you are, and whatever you're doing in the world today and in Preston today, are you willing to be holy? Are you willing to be set apart for God? It's a great incentive, actually, to obey God's commands, I think. Just think, I'm out with my mates on a Friday night. They're all offering me another drink, but I know that I've had enough. And I'd really like another beer. And they all seem to be happy and they're drinking more and more. And then I remember, hang on, Jesus has sent me on a mission. I'm on a quest to bring his word to a lost world. Of course I can't have any more to drink. I'm one of Jesus' marines in the world. Jesus prayed for my mission the night before he died to his Father in heaven, that God the Father would make me holy through his word. I've got to be dedicated to that quest. I've got to live a godly life. And then whatever we're doing in life, we need to remember we're not doing it for ourselves anymore. We're doing it as part of a local church who, by our words and by our actions, is trying to rescue people by telling them about Jesus. So, what about if you're in work and you're in a secular job? Well, in one sense, if you're in a secular job, then perhaps by definition, it's a job that someone who's not a Christian could do, and you as a Christian are doing the same job. But we need to ask, don't we, whether you work for the council, or you work in education, or you work for a small business, or you're a temp, or you're an engineer, whatever you're doing, how can you do your job in a way that glorifies God where you are? Your job might be one that a non-Christian could do well, but how will it look different because you're a Christian doing it? What's different about the way you do it because you're fulfilling Jesus' mission for the world? How can you look different to your colleagues because you're set apart for Jesus? Dedicate yourself to his mission by accepting that there's not an area of your life over which Jesus doesn't say, that's mine. That's mine, your life. That's the kind of holiness that we need. And as we finish, what about if this all seems too much? There's bound to be times, if we're going to be dedicated to this mission, that there are days when we might feel like we want to give up. The hours given to church, the sacrifices that are made to support missionaries, the mockery of our friends and family who pour scorn on what we believe. What about when we feel like just giving up and settling for a nice detached house where we can spend our weekends mowing the lawn instead of going to church? Well, let's remember verse 19, how Jesus finishes this little section of his prayer. He says to his Father in verse 19, have a look. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus prays that his disciples would be set apart, and then he declares that he himself sets himself apart for the task of saving them. Jesus was probably very, very comfortable in heaven, and it cost him everything to save us. He had to declare that night to his heavenly Father that he was setting himself apart for an awful death, so that we might be set apart for him in life. On the cross, he was cast away from God so that we can be set apart for God. And now he sends us out into the world so that other people might be saved through his death and so that our joy may be complete. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, Holy Father, we praise you for your holiness, that you are set apart from what you have made. We praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made himself holy that night when he dedicated himself to your mission to save us, the people you've given to him. And we thank you that you've revealed to us this mission, the mission that we were all made for. How unspeakable that we could be part of your plans for the world. Please, Father, give us wisdom and courage to bring your word to this lost world. Please help us not to leave the world and retreat in fear, but instead please protect us and preserve us in the world, that we might keep believing in Jesus. Help us to be holy people for you, set apart for your service. And through our holiness, we pray that you would bring salvation to others, joy to us, and glory to your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.